I used to have the Philips cassette deck. So I used to record the number one singles each week, leave a gap, and then I would do a link into said track. And I was about 13 at that time.
Hey everyone, I'm Katie Trexton, and you are listening to Anatomy of an Agency, the podcast that lifts the lid on everything that goes on behind the scenes of the talent industry. In this episode, we speak to one of the top broadcasters on British television, Jason Mohammed. With a regular show on BBC Radio 2, as long-term host of Final Score and a presenter on Match of the Day, Jason's illustrious career has taken him from a Cardiff council estate to the Men's Football World Cup final. There are thousands of kids who want to be footballers, but for those who don't make it, covering sport on TV is an equally powerful dream. We asked Jason, how do you do that?
All you do is you shout to camera, goal at Anfield. It's as easy as that. I was a decent footballer, but I knew my level. So I was in the school team and I played for my local team until I was about 18, youth, went to university and then played Parks football. But I knew I was never going to make it as a footballer. But I love football more than anyone on my street, in my school. And because I had a love of broadcasting and fell in love with radio from about 8 years old, I just knew. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I knew that I was going to work in football broadcasting somehow.
So what was the first step?
Well, my earliest memory, I always start with this. My earliest memory is
in your earliest memory in the whole of life?
My earliest memory when it comes to football and broadcasting, right? Okay, so I had a panda radio for Christmas. So it's like shaped like a panda, as kids do, but it was a radio. Quite why I was bought this present, I don't know. Whether I'd shown signs of being interested in music and radio as a kid, I can't remember that far back. But I remember listening to football commentaries that weren't on Five Live. There was no Five Live then when I was 8 years old. They were on Radio 2. And so Radio 2 would stop the music and then they'd throw to Liverpool playing Benfica, for example, in the 80s. And my earliest memory was listening to that brilliant Liverpool team win the European Cup in the 80s. And then after the commentary, within a couple of minutes, an interview with Kenny Dalglish or Ian Rush or Graham Souness from the tunnel. And I was like, this is magic. How are they doing this? It was like some sort of sorcery. And I was just infatuated from that day. And then my next memory of thinking to myself, I'd love to do that job, was the 1986 World Cup final, Argentina, West Germany. And I was kicking a football round at halftime and John Motson's voice I could hear from the telly saying, oh, here come the players, come back out. And I'd been kicking a football round in my back garden. And I remember thinking, I want to do that. I'm not going to get to the World Cup. I won't be playing for Wales. I'm not good enough to play, but I want to do that. Fast forward to 2013, 2014. I used to turn to the screen on Final Score and Motty and I used to chat, God bless him, in the big screen before a game. And Motty knew my name. Now, if you told that kid in 1986 that John Motson one day would refer to you as Jason on live British television, I'd never have believed you. But deep down, within my soul, I knew it was going to happen. Don't know how. Didn't know then how it was going to happen, but I knew it would happen.
Well, that's brilliant. My first question, if we scoot back a bit. So when you were a kid and you're listening to the matches and you're watching the matches, did you used to then practice? Did you used to have a go at it yourself? Did you got your hairbrush?
Yeah, I did.
In the mirror, giving it a go?
Yeah, I did, because I played a game called, I don't know if many of your listeners are this old, but there was a video game, computer game called Tracksuit Manager on the Commodore 64. And it's basically Championship Manager or Football
okay,
Manager
as it became. It's not choosing tracksuits.
No. However, I do love a tracksuit. As you've probably seen on my Instagram, I do love a tracksuit. It's what becomes of a 51-year-old. Can't let go. And basically, I used to commentate on the Tracksuit Manager games. So this was graphics. This wasn't video games. This was choose your team, play a game, do your tactics. And I used to commentate
so
through
stats.
Those. Stats. Yeah.
Sounds a little bit like Final Score.
I was ahead of my time. People are talking about stats now. I was into stats before Arsene Wenger was. And so I used to commentate on these, but also going hand in hand, and I suppose this is how my career has reached that point now, is that I also loved music as a kid, and probably my first love was music before sport and before football. And I think I was also thinking about a career in music radio. So I used to do like a radio show from my living room as well. I used to have the Philips cassette deck. So I used to, sorry, Radio 1. I used to record the number one singles each week. Everyone did it. leave a gap, and then I would do a link into said track. And I was about 13 at that time. So I suppose I had this combination between music DJ and sports commentator, about 13 or 14. I remember telling my teacher, my Welsh teacher at the time, Mrs. Griffiths, who I owe everything to, I remember saying to her, I want to work in the media. And she said, well, if you want to work in the media here in Wales, then you should learn Welsh. And that was my gateway into getting a scholarship with the BBC in 97.
Goodness me. And was this all coming from inside you? Or did you have a mum or dad in the industry, someone down the road?
No one at all. No one. I was the first person in my family and on my street to go to university. I grew up in a working class, at the time, it was Europe's biggest council estate in Cardiff, on the west of Cardiff. We never really went out of our district. We never even went out of Ely, because only to watch Cardiff City games, because we had everything there. We had football grounds, teams, sports teams in the summer, pubs, youth clubs, didn't need anything, shops. So when you went to town, it was like a big day out, and we were only going 10 minutes down the road. So it was a very hardworking, industrious, very solid part of Cardiff, and that's where I learnt probably the basics of graft and determination and the will to succeed and that drive. Because there were people I grew up around who worked really hard. So I saw people grafting every day. And I think that work ethic comes from my background and where I grew up.
So you went to university to get the skills to win House of Games in future.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And
on the last day, I might add, in the last minute. It added time.
And then what about, so while you were at university, were you doing any broadcasting? Was there university radio? Were you doing stuff with the BBC or another commercial
station? I was so hell-bent on the career. I knew, because I knew from about 8 that I knew I wanted to do something with sport and music. By the time I was 14, 15, I'd started plotting my way, thinking, right, how do I get ahead in this game? And so I was doing a little bit of kind of writing for the local newspaper. So there was a little bit of journalism in there as well, because that's, you couldn't get a hospital radio show at 16, for example. So I used to write for the school newsletter. I liked English. So then I used to write for the local newspaper. So the Midweek Cricket League, for example, back then would do scorecards, and about 100 scorecards would come land on my doormat, and I would have to write a newspaper report each week for the South Wales Echo, which was the midweek sport. So I was writing for my local evening newspaper from about 16, 17. Then went to university, to Swansea, to do Welsh and politics. And then they gave me a hospital radio show called The Big Trip on a Tuesday night. And I did that for 3 years. But whilst I was at university, and I think this is the crucial part, when all my mates went home for the summer, I stayed in Swansea and worked for Radio Wales for free. So they all went home on holidays. But because I was so driven, I basically was writing material. I was researching, not on air yet, but I was working with the DJs and the local presenters from Swansea, where the BBC had a studio. So by the time I started sending off my cassettes, the commissioners and the heads of radio knew who I was, because I'd spent that time in the summer months.
And I think this is what's really, really interesting for anyone listening, because I think it's fair to say you've been with the BBC long enough and done enough that we can imagine that you're all right on camera.
Not bad.
But a lot of people think, oh, if I'm charismatic, if I show up and I've got a good personality, I'll get discovered, I'm ready to go.
Yeah,
but
no
what
chance.
You're describing is basically doing your 10,000 hours that makes you an expert before day one.
Absolutely. You don't run a London Marathon, do you, without doing the training? And that's how I saw it. I think I was lucky, really, because the contacts that I'd built up, and I was quite savvy about it as well, you know, so I would look after my contacts and regularly drop emails, and early days of emails and letters saying...
I was going to say they had emails in those
well,
days.
Well, the advent of email, I saw it coming. Drop letters into Paul, for example, who ran the station, saying, hey, Paul, can I pop in for a week? Yeah, come in for a week. And then Paul moved to Cardiff and then suddenly knew me and was saying, yeah, come and do some work in Cardiff. Paid work then, you know? So by the time I got to the end of my four-year degree in Swansea, I had contacts within the BBC, plus also hours and hours and hours of experience. And I think I was a bit crazy. I was so driven by the whole thing, because there was nothing else I ever wanted to do. Nothing else appealed to me other than playing sport at a professional level, and that was never going to happen.
But you thought to yourself, you thought, right, I'm good with numbers, I'm good with words.
Yeah.
I've got this going on air.
Yeah.
I need to get my face in front of that camera.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you make that step?
Well, actually, do you know, the interesting thing is, for my A-levels, a friend and I, we got chosen to record a film on Twinning Towns when we were doing our A-levels. I did A-level media studies. So me and my pal Lee, we got sent to Northern France to do a like piece about Twinning Towns, a place called Saint-Paul-de-Léon in Brittany, and a place in South Wales called Penarth. And we had to do the link, so we stayed with the French family. So that was my first ever piece to camera. And the tutor, he claimed I said this, because my accent, I was very Cardiff, I was, you know, I've refined my accent over the years. And he said I did a piece to camera saying, I can't believe this place, there's boulangeries down the road. Like as if I'd never been out of Wales before. And I don't remember doing that piece to camera, although it exists on VHS somewhere. So the TV thing, that was my only bit of TV experience, because I'd done hospital radio, done a bit of work with local radio, bit of writing. The first bit of TV work I ever did was at the Cardiff School of Journalism, because I won a scholarship with BBC Wales. And in that meeting where I won the scholarship, the head of news and current affairs who interviewed me said, you really want this, don't you? Because he'd seen my CV, and my CV stood out, because it was like 10 pages long, right? So this is what I say to anyone who wants to get in the business. You've got to build up those contacts and build up that experience. So I won that scholarship, and then my first bit of telly was when I was at the School of Journalism in Cardiff, which is one of the best schools of journalism in the world, you know, world renowned. So many people come out of that college with a, it's now a master's, it was a postgrad diploma back in 97. So many of people I was on that course with went to work for BBC, ITV, Sky News, Sky Sports. And still to this day, there are many, many students going into it. So that was my first ever bit of telly. But I suppose all those hours of radio and local radio and writing briefs and researching and setting up interviews and being on location, watching camera operators, film presenters, I was ready for it. So when I got the kind of job to anchor the news, we had like a thing called CGS News, I knew my way around the studio, you know?
Okay, so you're on the news. So I was gonna say, based on this story, yeah. I imagine the next step wasn't, I went to the Cardiff School of Journalism and they went, please come and talk about the Premier League.
Exactly, well, beautifully done, Katie, because because I did politics, I developed this kind of passion for news. I became this news junkie. And I thought, oh, maybe my career's in news. And I wasn't pushed into news, but the advice I had at the time was, look, I know you want to go to sport, but if you go to news for a few years, and again, this is something I pass on to a lot of my students I work with, is you've got a way of telling a story if you work in news. And you get to build up contacts with the police, the fire service, and a whole bunch of agencies who will come in handy perhaps later on in your career and whatever you do.
There's also that who, what, where, when, why,
yeah,
how.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah,
absolutely. You do that in the news. You don't quite get told that entry level anywhere else, and that runs
quite
through
right.
Everything.
Jason, you're in the corner over there. Get on the newsroom camera. There's been a terrible, terrible accident. The newsroom camera, when that thing happened, when News 24, now the news channel happened, you know, get on the camera and do a two-way. Okay. Straight out of college, right? And this is like really daunting. So thrown straight into it. Jason, you're presenting the 6:30 bulletin in the morning because the presenter's gone off ill. So are you okay reading Nauticu? Yeah, I've just done a year of it. So all that stuff. And then the turning point was, so I did 6 or 7 years of news. I was mostly the Anne Finley guy on the 6:30 news. You know the story, the cat stuck up a tree? That was me.
I think you need to explain to people some of the stuff you got up to as the Anne Finley guy.
Yeah, the Anne Finley guy.
Just to bring it to life for us.
So it was like kind of, I don't know, you know, the local museum is doing reenactment of gladiators, like, you know, go there and dress up as a Roman gladiator and do a piece to camera. In fact, I do tell this story about how I went to do a piece on the wrestling. Hulk Hogan's cousin, not even Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan's cousin.
Well, at least it wasn't
came
long
to Cardiff,
cousin.
Right? Came to Cardiff to do a demo. So I got sent, right? And the editor said to me, I want you doing a piece to camera with them hanging you upside down, right? So I do the old Jason Mohammed, BBC Wales Today, Cardiff, upside down, right? But they were these guys were like 28 stone. They were massive, right? Hulk Hogan's cousin, remember? And they got me into like a choke stranglehold and they tipped me upside down. And I could barely get my words out because they kind of hurt me, right? So I did the thing. And then John, my cameraman, said, are you all right? And I was like blood rushing to my head. I couldn't speak. So I went to the GP the next day and he said, they've damaged your windpipe. They choked me so hard, right? And I was like, Hulk Hogan's cousin, not even Hulk Hogan. I can't never dine out on this story. And so I was that guy, right? And then I got, then they asked me to read the news. So I used to do the 6:30 news. You know, if you watch regional television, you know, it's BBC London, it's North West Tonight in Manchester, Look North in Yorkshire. So I was the 6:30 news guy. And then the turning point came 2006, went to the Commonwealth Games in Melbourne to cover the news stories as a news reporter. And then I saw in our office, Claire Balding, Hazel Irvin, Gabby Logan were on the other side. We were sharing an office. So we were basically national. BBC Worlds, we call ourselves national, not local. So we were in that, the nations and regions, but I could see that. I was like, there's Claire Balding, there's Hazel Irvin. And I was like, I want to be them. And then 2 years later, I started working on Final Score when Gabby was presenting as a reporter. And so I kind of made a few contacts while I was in the Commonwealth Games. At that point, I was like, that's it. I'm done with news. I want to work in sport broadcasting.
And so what did you just write off and say, these are the skills I've got? I'd love to be doing football. Can I be reporting on that?
Well, I had a full-time job, so I was still working for BBC Wales, but I was doing Scrum 5, which is the Rugby Union Highlights programme, back at BBC Wales. Okay. I was doing the Saturday afternoon results programme, which was an opt-out of Final Score in Wales, no longer happens, where it was Final Score, but it was rugby as well, and we showed a bit of rugby highlights. So I was on the sport treadmill, okay? But I was building contact all the time with people at BBC Sport Network. And then I think it was a Cardiff City Swansea City game, and I got called by Five Live, and they said, can you cover the game? It's a 5:30 kickoff, just doing updates. And because they'd seen me do stuff, you know, I think at BBC Sport they look at what's happening in the nations and regions and work out who's the next person coming through, and I'd obviously impressed them. And so I became a Final Score reporter for Cardiff City, Swansea City, Bristol Rovers, Swindon Town, that part of Wales and the West, when Gabby was presenting it. And then did the Olympics in 2012 as a reporter, like a day reporter, when the BBC's coverage was incredible, you remember that. And then 2013, I had the call. Gabby was moving to athletics and was leaving Final Score, and I was asked, would I like to take over Final Score?
Would you like your own show?
Would you like to present a show I've grown up with?
Yeah,
exactly. Can I call you back in about a week? And it's that moment you dream of, right? And then also, as part of the package was, do you like your snooker? Yes, I'd grown up watching snooker, all the Welsh legends, and watching like Stephen Hendry and Steve Davis. And then second part of that package was presenting the snooker as well with Hazel Irvin. So my life changed in one phone call. I'd gone from that guy who does a bit of BBC Worlds but also does a bit of work with us to suddenly being a recognisable BBC Sport face, and have been there ever since.
But I think that's the thing, is that a lot of people think that talent gets discovered, but actually what your story is telling us is that talent gets recognised if you put the work in.
And belligerence, and just keep going.
Always a healthy belligerent appetite.
Yeah, and just keep going, yeah. Yeah, because I strongly believe if you put the mileage in, someone will basically spot you at some point.
Was being Welsh an advantage, a disadvantage, or neither?
I've never ever been asked that question. I never thought of it. I don't know how much this contributed to me getting the scholarship, but my interview, so I did a Welsh degree and politics degree at Swansea. But my interview to get the scholarship was in Welsh. So who knows? If I turned up there and not been a Welsh speaker, I might not have got the scholarship, I might not have got a place. But I genuinely believe that the amount of work I've done since being a sports broadcaster for S4C, I've made documentaries in Welsh as well, working in both languages, has really, really helped me. It's really helped me. And having that second language and being able to speak a second language, people will tell you that suddenly when you try to attempt a third language, fourth language, helps enormously, you know? So, yeah.
And nowadays, there's much more of a focus on diversity in broadcasting that I would say wasn't necessarily the case when you were coming up. In fact, diversity, being diverse from the majority demographic, was probably a barrier to entry, not an opportunity then, which means that you probably can sympathise now with a lot of people from underrepresented groups trying to get into the industry and making their way.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for them?
Well, also, when you think about it, Katie, you know, a very good friend of mine, he tells me that he's a very good friend of mine. And he says to me, what you've done is a miracle. Because there's no one from our side of Cardiff, where we grew up, from our streets, who's achieved what I've done in broadcasting. And all the odds were stacked against me, you know, coming from a working class family, a council estate that provided Wales and Welsh sport with boxers and footballers, but not broadcasters, right? And not through academia either. And no one in my family had said, go to university, I went to university, and this is the way to do it. So I had no guidance whatsoever, other than, I will get there, I know what I want, and I'm gonna go after it. And I suppose as well, being from a mixed race household as well, in the 80s and early 90s, that was tough. I had a tough, you know, my school days were tough. You know, being the only kid with a Muhammad surname, you know, I talk about this openly. I suffered racism when I was a kid, but it made me stronger. And so that's why I'm at the stage of my career now where I'm looking to give something back. So I've got 26 years of experience and doors are opening for, let's say, kids from the part of Cardiff or part of Wales or anywhere around the UK where I came from. So I want to do my bit now, because if I've done something, I've opened the door for people like me. And my job now is to make sure they go through that door and do and are given the opportunities that I've been given.
26 years of experience. This is my last question. Still got your own show on the BBC, football show, prime time, Final Score. You got that dream phone call. Will you come and host Final Score? Come and do a bit of snooker as well. Doesn't strike me from everything I know and everything I've heard just now that you're like, oh, great, cool. I'll just relax into that for the rest of my life then. What's next?
More. I want more. I'm 51. Once I turned 50, I was like, great. There's not much I haven't done, Katie, in terms of the sports broadcasting. You know, a show on Radio 2, biggest radio station in Europe, one of the biggest radio stations in the world. Final Score, match of the day, FA Cup finals, World Cup finals, Euros, Olympic Games, Commonwealth Games, but I want to do more.
And beyond sport?
Beyond sport, yeah. Totally, let's do it. Absolutely. I've never stopped, and I don't see the point in stopping now.
I think you've got at least another 26 years.
Easy. Absolutely. Absolutely. I suppose I've also reached the age now where I'll have a crack at absolutely anything. And I've always had that philosophy. There's not much I've turned down, to be honest. I've always thought to myself, yeah, let's have a go. Let's do it. You know, I did 3 years of 606 on Five Live, where I was the guy doing the classified football results on BBC One in front of 2 million viewers. 20 minutes later, I'm arguing with fans from around the UK. A lot of people are like, what are you doing, man? And I was like, I've had 3 great years. It's been great fun. You know, presenting music shows on Radio 2, you know, walking out to Radio 2 in the park, 50,000 people on stage introducing Paul Heaton from the House Martins, right? This is like, this was nothing more than a dream when I was a kid. But like I say, something within my soul told me I will get there. And that's my one message to anyone listening today, is you've got to have, Ali used to use this amazing quote, and I use this in all my keynotes. You have to have the skill and the will, but the will must be stronger than the skill. And I've had that sent to me on greetings cards. I've got it in my diary. I've got it on a frame in my kitchen. I look at that most days when I'm having my cup of tea in the morning before I go to work. Skill in the will, but the will must be stronger than the skill. You've got to have that will. You've got to have the heart. You know, you've got to be able to put those hard yards in. When, you know, people say to me, ah, you know, especially the busiest time of my career was when I was doing Score on a Saturday, running over to Five Live, getting some kip, and then going to do Radio 2 the next morning at 6. And people say to me, how'd you do it? And I say, if you love what you do, you don't feel the pain.
Yeah, you love it. I mean, I think for me, it was the other weekend when it sounds like you tell your story and you go, oh, look, he's grafted and grafted, and now he's got a lovely cushy number that he enjoys. The other weekend, you were Final Score on TV.
So you arranged it.
Then going and hosting an awards. Then you're doing
Radio. Got to give Wrexham a shout.
Wrexham. You're doing Radio 2, a program about religion and culture in between. Yeah. Then popping off to do your VE Day coverage. Yeah. Then back for your phone-in before you cycle back into the football again. It's like, no.
I don't
it sounds
stop.
Like past Jason was the lazy one.
Yeah, well, it was. He was very lazy.
You're just
he only had
stride.
One show. The 50-year-old Jason is the grafter. He's the one. And he wants more, even more. So there's a whole bunch of things. And I started doing quizzes, the entertainment stuff on BBC, which has been brilliant. Hence the House of Games trophy, which I'm very proud of. And there's more stuff I want to do, you know. And there's, you know, there are more people I want to work with and work for. And also giving something back. That is a huge part as well of my ambition. You know, I've set up a little media academy. I want to give a bit more time to the students who are coming through who are saying, Jason, how do I go about doing it? And I say, look, these are the skills you need, but you also, everything we've talked about in this podcast, Katie, I also tell them too as well, you know, that you have to be able to put the hours in, you know?
We will make sure as many people get that advice as possible, Jason. It was such a pleasure speaking to Jason. His passion for sport, broadcast and teaching pours out of him. So I hope you learned something new in this episode. I know that I did. That's all we have time for today, but do get in touch via our email address, gvo@goodvibesonlytalent.com or on social media at Good Vibes Only Talent. That's all from me. I will speak to you next time on Anatomy of an Agency.